In the previous year, we were going on Seder the Shulchan Aruch, and we got up to this inyanim of Hagolus Kalev, which is Tefillin Aleph, Tefillin Beis in Hilchos Pesach. To go through, there's a lot of pratim here, which could be even the Gela Halacha Maisa, but I think today's show we're going to do more or less outside and go through the basically. You know that we discussed yesterday in the women's share, so that if there's anything unclear, maybe we could clarify it today. Okay. So what's important to know is that when it comes to kashering, the rule is kibole kachpolte, which means that the way it was belayed, the way it went in, that's the way we pull it out. Therefore, if it went in through heat of water with liquid, there was hot water, it was being cooked, there was liquid in there, so then you could do what's called hagala, which is to remove it through hot water. Sometimes the hagala will have to be done in a klirishin, sometimes it's enough for iri klirishin. Then we have when the bli went in through fire itself. So then to remove the bliyah, it needs to be done with libun. Libun means with fire. And then this is called libun kal. Sometimes it's enough, a lower temperature of heat. Sometimes we need libun chomer. Now, the mishbrura in Tefillin Beis, where over there in the Siman Tefillin Beis, is describing more of the actual libun itself, how to do the libun itself. So the Mishmur brings down a Sifkat and Ches from the Issev Heter, from Rishonim, that it's easy for problems to take place, and therefore, the Etzim HaGolah should, at the end, it says, the Nochen Laham Re'etzel HaGolah Ba'al Torah HaBaki B'dini HaGolah, should have someone who knows the dinim, and who's Baki in Dini Hagolah, in charge of the Hagolah. So sometimes going to stand just a person in the street who's doing Hagolah, there's a lot of little technical problems that could come about if they're not careful about it. So we'll go through it now. So if let's say one's doing Hagolah at home, which one could do on certain items, as we'll mention further. So the best thing is, if possible, is to wait 24 hours from the time that was Boleya, the Isser, or the Chametz. That's step number one. Then to clean the Kli well from any dirt. And the Halach is, but then also if there's rust. But we're talking about over here where there's like rust caked onto it, and there's a chash that maybe there's Chametz hidden between the rust and the Kli. But like what you feel on the Kli, like it looks stained, that's not a problem. That's not a problem. And the truth is, when we talk about cleaning the kli from any dirt that's on the kli, also there's a share to that also. The tzgufus where I brought to our blood different kelim that people insisted are still dirty, and he told me it's not a problem. So there's also, if someone has a issue with that they feel that they're cleaning and it's not. And it's not just not getting clean, so then show it to a Rav. So that's step number two, is to clean it. A third step is that the clean now, if the cleaning it has to be dry from any wetness, because we don't want that the wetness on the clean should cool off the heat of the fire. And then we fill a pot with water, l'chatchila. In most cases, l'chatchila should be plain water without any other cleaning agents mixed into it or any other mashkin mixed into it, and it should be brought to a boil till it's bubbling. And this is something that one has to be careful about, because if you're doing Hagala more than one kli, which one may do more than one kli at a time, so then they have to be careful as they're putting in the kelim, the kli cools off the heat, so you can put in one, put in two, and then it will stop bubbling. So you have to wait until it rebubbles and then put it in again. And also you can use the same water until the water will change color. So usually at home what you're doing won't come to that. But these are two issues that could happen in the agolas outside, that they're not careful to change the water every once in a while, and also that they're not careful that it should always be brought to a boil before they put the kelim in.
Is it okay if it's in and then it starts boiling, or you have to take it out and
put it back? Yeah, but you should put it in when, I mean, to be safe, make sure it's boiling beforehand.
If it's wet, if the clay's wet and you put it in, so even if it's cool off, you might get it.
You could do that, but then again, you're adding steps to your process, which you might.
I'm saying it could actually even when it's wet, or when it's
yeah, it'll be fine. That'll be fine. The chatchilo, it's also brought down that there should be shishim against the kelim. But that's a chatchila, and also all the sides of the kli should come in contact with the hot water. So if you're putting in a few kelim at the same time, what can happen is that the water won't reach parts of the kli. Now, if it's a big kli, which is difficult to do agala on it at once, one could do half at a time. First one half, and then a second half. After the Hagala, the minig is to wash it off with cold water. Again, it's only the chatchila, it's not ma'akev. And the water should be heated up from fire. Any other ways of heating up fire, of heating up water may not work for Hagala. And now, if someone has a kli that needs tzvila, so it could be they talk bad electrical, the new magnetic ones. Could be the magnetic ones and
what? Well,
it should be. It's heated, but the mindset we say electric is ish, but it's more like the magnetic, and there's some other examples of things out there that heat up things.
What's that ish?
The magnetic stoves and things like that.
That can't be used.
It's a question. It's a question in Bishul Akum also if it's called ish. It's a question in many other areas. Now it's also sometimes it's not easy to wait 24 hours for whatever reason. So then the minig is to make the water a little pogum, to put something into the water to make it pogum. Okay, now we mentioned yesterday that it is roy based on Rishonim and the Paitin in Shabbos Gadol. It is roy that if one could get new kelim, they should get new kelim, but of course, according to what one could afford, is what he needs to do. Now, those kelim which one uses for chametz and is not going to be using it for Pesach, we're not being machshav for Pesach, so it has to be closed up. It's enough to put it to close it in a cabinet, a closet, and just put tape over it. If you want, you can write on the tape chametz so that people are aware that to stay away from it, not to come close to it. Other chametz that's being left around in the house, let's say you're selling chametz to the guy, you're leaving it around. So so the din in Shulchan Aruch is brought down that there should be a mechitza. If you have guys chametz in your shus, you should make a mechitza asara. It should be in different rishos, or it should be a mechitza over there. However, the price can bring down that it will be enough if I seal it off. Rav Moshe is to say that you should put it in a box. Put it in a box and then tape the box. Because the Mishmur says a kisui ba'alma is not enough. So just putting it in a bag may not be enough. Because you're used to opening up bags without thinking. But if it's a box, a sealed box, that already you'll stay away from. If this comes up, a lot of times people keep in their fridge. So if it's in the fridge or freezer, they keep chametz they sell to the guy. So if it's on a shelf, so you could seal off that shelf, and that's enough. But if you're not sealing off the shelf, so then it will be suggested to do like Rav Moshe said, to seal the to put it in a box and to seal it off.
You put it in the bag and tape the bag.
Again, Mishmur says kisui ba'alma is not enough. I assume that's called a kisui ba'alma. Rav Moshe held also like that. If Rav Moshe said put it in a box, but
cabinet,
that's fine. That's what we see over here. Let's near Maftech we saw yesterday. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, now Okay, now, again, just to go over one other yisai that we mentioned, that when we're cleaning or doing the bedika, what we're searching for is really chametz, which is the size of a kezayis, or less than a kezayis, and it's not metunaf. To make something metunaf, it's enough to just wipe it with a wet cloth, with any type of soap. And there's no need for bleach at all in this cleaning process. Now, so therefore, any place where chametz may be stuck, like if there's some chametz stuck onto chairs, tables, or couch, it's enough to just take a wet cloth with any cleaning agent, any soap is fine, and wipe them down. And this will make whatever's stuck over there not edible, and then we're not worried about someone coming to eat it by mistake. And like we said also, there's no need to take apart the chairs or the table or the couch to krich out whatever's there. It's not a problem. If there's a piece of chametz that fell in a spot in the couch, on the inside the couch or something where people don't get to, so that's like what we mentioned earlier from Taf Lamaches, that if there's chametz in a place that you're not going to be using that area, so then bit alone is enough. Yeah.
If it's bigger than kezayis, to the class
No. There has to be nifsa lachis, tell us that.
Unless it's in a place where you're not going to get
to. Right, then bit alone is enough, that's what we just said.
If you're going to be, if you have an apartment, you're not going to be in the oriented, then why do you have to be ridiculous?
So one second. That's going back to a different discussion, which I'll answer afterwards. So now,
there's just no metzias though, if the kid will get to it or not get to it.
Right, that's what we mentioned when we went through those halachas. Right, we spoke about that. Right. I just want to focus on the next step now. So therefore, it comes to svarim and books. Also, there's no need to clean the svarim or the books. Since no one's eating any dust or crumbs that are left in the svarim. However, one has to be careful that if these are svarim that during the year you use at the table when you're eating, and now you can bring it to the table on Pesach, so you may not come to eat the crumb from the sefer, but if the crumb isn't full, add the sefer onto the table, and then you can be eating at the table, so then you might come to eat that crumb, which is a mashal of chametz that's also to eat on Pesach. So either those few svarim you do clean and check before Pesach, or if you're using it at the table on Pesach, just have a separate tablecloth or plastic that you put down on the table and you put the sefer on, and then when you finish with the sefer, you fold up that tablecloth and put it away, so then there'll be no chance of coming to eat from that. Benches, which could have chametz stuck to it, so that already should be put away for Pesach and have separate benches for Pesach itself. Clothing, again, as long as the clothing was washed with detergent, so there's no reason why we need to check the packets and go through the clothing to check if there's chametz in the packets. Unless it's, let's say, a coat packet or children's coat, where they do sometimes put pieces of chametz into their packet, something which is substantial that one could eat even if it went through the wash or didn't go through the wash, right? So then those things you would have to check. But just regular clothing, there's probably no need to check. The table, the kitchen table, like we said, to wash down well. Okay, shelves of clothing closets, again, the lower shelves where children could reach, children holding food could reach those shelves, so then they should be empty. Just wash down once, put the clothing back, wash it down once. And as you're cleaning, also before you put the clothing back on, just check. Is there any chametz there? No chametz, put the clothing back on. That's fine. The higher shelves do not need any cleaning at all. Now, when we come to the kitchen, so obviously we're going to be more makbid in the kitchen because, again, the kitchen is the place where food is being prepared. The Pesach food is being prepared. So we're going to be more makbid over there that there shouldn't be any chametz at all left around so that one won't come to, again, eat a mashal of chametz mistakenly. So therefore, towels, oven mitts, tablecloths that were used with chametz should be washed with detergent, and then they may be used on Pesach. Some people may not feel comfortable doing that, but me'ikar din, that's enough. You washed it with detergent, that's fine, it's clean. The kvisa is, right, the Gemara says, kvisa is mitzi bliyas. Gemara is vachim and other places. So kvisa takes out the bliyas that are in there. So there shouldn't be any problems of chametz once it was washed. Pantry shelves. So even though you store on the chametz throughout the year, even though during the year you store chametz on these shelves, but again, if you clean them well, there's no need to cover them. As long as you clean them well. If you're nervous, you know, on this shelf you store the flour and things and little specks of chametz might have fell out and gotten in the cracks or something like that. You weren't able to clean it well, so then cover it. But otherwise, if you cleaned it well and you looked at it, you don't see anything there, there's no reason why you need to bother covering it. Countertops should be kashered by cleaning them well, and when it's dry, pouring boiling water on it. However, not all counters could be kashered. Some counters may even crack, if it's real granite, may even, or marble, may crack if you do this. So the other it's is that it may be covered. But me'ikra din, you do not need to do both. Either one of the two. It's not necessary to do both. Either kashered or covered. Whatever is easier. Even though the Mishbrura does have mashmais, the idea of doing both comes from the Mishbrura. That's the MS. But halacha l'maisa, one does not need to do both. One is enough. Either covering or kashering.
And one is level of fire, too. Should double cover it?
That you have to figure out how thick your foil is. The idea is that it won't rip, and if it rips, it won't hit the counter. But so you have to figure out how thick your foil is, and does it rip or not? The same thing with the backsplash, the wall behind the counter, which, again, if it should be enough just to wash it down, and that's enough. Unless you know that it gathers wetness and then drips back into the food, but otherwise, it should not be a problem. Just clean it well, and that's enough. The refrigerator and the freezer, again, this is a place where you're storing food. You're storing your Pesach food there, and you store food there all year round. And sometimes spills happen, and crumbs get left over there. So again, you have to clean it very. You have to make sure to clean it very well. And especially if it's glass shelves, the things stick to it. So you clean it. You have to clean it well. But once you cleaned it well, it's not necessary to cover the shelves. Unless it was hard to clean well, so then you'll cover it. But otherwise, you do not need to cover the shelves in the refrigerator and freezer. The sink. So now if the sink is made of porcelain or enamel, so then you should get the sink insert. Put a sink insert into it. If it's a stainless steel sink, so then it may be kashered. The way to kasher a sink is that the sink should not be used with hot water or hot chametz, but it shouldn't be used with hot chametz. Again, the chatchil should be used with hot chametz for 24 hours before kashering. After this 24-hour period, you boil the water, and then when it's bubbling, pour it onto the sink. So even though, you know, when you take a kumkum, it boils, but you take it off, but within 2-3 seconds it goes down. It's fine. Just take it straight. Don't stop. Just take it straight. Pour it onto the walls of the sink, and then pour it into the bottom of the sink. Now, you have to try to get every spot, so it's going to take 2 or 3 times to do it. But in between each time, you need to dry it off, because that water that's there is going to cool off the next hot water they pour in there. So you need to dry the sink, you know, make sure it's dry in between each time that you pour the boiling water.
It's rocking with the oven.
It could. Yeah. There's no need to cover the faucet. The faucet's enough to just pour hot water on it, or some say turn on the hot water, and then as the hot water's coming out, pour hot water over it. That's enough.
What about the spout itself? Is it rather than like rubber? Or
so that may be, because we don't kasher plastic or rubber for Pesach, so that would make sense to change, but it's not the end of the world if you don't. because the chash of blazing in and coming out is very far off, and it may could be it's only klisheni or klishlishi. So, but if one wants to, they could. Okay, now when it comes to the stove top, so we have the floor of the stove top, the island, we have the grates and the burners. So the burners and the grates may be kashered, either if someone has a self-clean oven or a neighbor has a self-clean oven who's willing to allow you to put your burners and your grates in it. So then it could be done over there, it could be stacked up in the self-clean oven, and that will kasher. Or there's another etza which is a little more difficult, that if you have a burning fire or a torch. But if you don't have a torch, so then you're gonna have to somehow move the grate in the fire and hold it there long enough that it turns very hot, every part of it. But that's a little more difficult and probably dangerous. So the other it is to turn on like three fires or four fires, if it's possible, and then put a blech on top. And the blech will spread the heat out throughout the grates and will kasher the grates. So you have to leave it on for about 10 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes, and that should be enough. I have at home a blech, which is already black, because your blech is going to turn black. Anyone wants to borrow, could borrow it. To kasher their grates and their burners.
What if parts of the grates are not touching the actual blech itself? And the grates, sometimes the
grates.
So yeah. Then you're going to have to move the blech over. And leave it there also. Did I answer this question?
Sometimes you put a pad on it, and you see like the
metal's not flat.
The metal's not flat.
So it's not on this side, but on this side it'll be a little bit off.
But it's under the blech? As long as it's under the blech.
Not every single part of the metal might touch the blech.
But there's no any of touching. The idea is that the blech keeps the heat in, and it gets hot and spreads the heat out throughout the whole thing. Doesn't have to touch. But if it's not being covered by the blech, then it could be an issue.
That's what I have to touch.
You have to clean the grates first?
It's suggested to, because
self-clean.
You don't have, in self-clean you don't have to. Even then, I don't know, women told me that they did self-clean and still they found things on afterwards, I don't know. But what's burnt is burnt. Okay. Now the oven itself. So again,
above the burners? That's
much
where the
public
burners, like the cabinet.
So over there also, over there, it's bad enough just to clean it. Now, if you know that by you, it gathers condensation, it gathers moisture, and then it drips back into your food, then you need to cover it. But if it doesn't, no. Steam goes up. There's no need to chibar there. Grad on Pesach with makbar, I need to chibar. But there's no need to chibar there. As far as I know, you don't have a word on this shit at all. Okay. If the oven has self-clean, so then just use the self-clean mode to kasher the oven, and that's enough. If one does not have self-clean oven, so here there's a discussion among the Paiskim if it may be kashered or not. It's brought down for Rav Moshe that Rav Moshe was machmir, that one cannot kasher. That's why people that followed Rav Moshe's psak is to get these metal box inserts to put in. However, there are other paiskim which one could rely on that hold that there's a way to kasher it by you clean the oven well with a oven cleaner, easy off, whatever it may be. Again, what's burnt is burnt. You don't have to get off what's burnt. And then you turn the oven on, and also you should wipe down the door with this oven cleaner, so you'll be plaguing whatever's on the door. And then turn on the oven to the highest for half an hour. Between half an hour and an hour. However, this does not kasher the racks, according to even within those paiskim that hold that you can do this to the oven, most of them hold that it does not kasher the racks. There is a shita that holds that it does kasher the racks, but many places hold that it does not kasher the racks because the racks probably came in contact with the food, with chametz itself. So therefore, the racks itself, either you get new racks, or you need to kasha with a torch, or with a self-clean oven, or something like that. Or you could cover the rack. If you cover the rack also, it's fine. If you cover the rack. It's not l'chatchil, because that din of, if you learn your day, the din of shtei keder is noigizu bezu. Also, if you have two hot pots that touch each other, one milk and one fleshig, that ain't liquid between it, there's no bleeds. But again, on Pesach, we're not saying on that l'chatchila. So, hot plates, just clean them well and cover with thick foil, and that's enough. Microwaves is there's 3-4 issues about kashering microwaves for Pesach. So even if you do during the year, but for Pesach it's more complicated. Especially a lot of microwaves are made out of different materials that we don't kasher for Pesach, and so therefore in general we don't kasher microwaves for Pesach. Someone has a specific situation where they need to, so then speak to a rav. Okay, now other objects around the house, again, it's just basically objects like rings or computers or things that don't really go in the mouth. So it's enough just to wipe them off with a wet cloth and spray it and just clean it. That's enough. You have toys. Children do take toys. They put toys in the mouth. So again, we don't want them to eat a speck of chametz. So to go wash all the toys, it's going to be a big hassle. So either you buy them a few toys for Pesach, and those are the toys that they'll play with. Make sure it's a nice big box, so they'll play with the box for a long time. And I just saw my chip, so I brought back different things, and I brought back one of these these shmata scarves, because I was freezing in wherever it was. It was in Rome. So I bought one of these, so most of the kids play with that more than everything else. So, you know. So either you buy a few new toys, or you take a few toys, and those toys you'll wash well. And those will be the toys that he'll play with, or she'll play with over Pesach. But otherwise, unless it's taka toys that you don't put in the mouth. I'm saying there's certain toys that they don't put in their mouth, or they're old enough that they don't put in their mouth. Again, that's what you have to done up. A high chair tray is enough just to wash it down well, but you have to wash down all the spots of it. And then that's enough. You don't have to cover it either. If possible, it's better to buy new bottles, sippy cups, again, because those are things that go in the baby's mouth. However, as long as they were used with cold liquids and it's going to be continued to be used with cold liquids and it's washed well, so you don't need new ones, but it might be kedai if possible.
You wash
a pacifier, what?
You wash them in the sink so, and then it's crumbs.
Oh, okay, so that's the same idea.
Dishwasher.
Also, right. Could be. Depends how it works, right. It's also best to buy a new pacifier, but again, in whatever situations that this is a specific pacifier, you finally found the right pacifier that the baby likes, and so then there's the option of kashering it. They just boil up hot water, drop it in there, and then that's fine. Okay, now, like we mentioned before, not everything works with Hagalas Kelim. There's some things that may need Liban, something that the bleeds went in through fire. The mashal, frying pan. Sometimes you don't use liquid in it. You might fry something that has chametz on it, and then it'll go straight in. Or a grill, or if you have a barbecue grill. So that, a barbecue grill, if there's a cover to it, so what you can do is you clean it, and then just light the fire, cover the cover, it'll get hot enough to kasher it out. If it's one of the small grills, it probably could die for 40 shekels, buy a new one if it was used with chametz. But there may be different things that might need more. Now, what's interesting in Shulchan Aruch is that we find that kli shesia, that kelim that were used with only cold, that it's brought down that also to do hagala on it, even though it was only used with cold. But since it was on the table with chametz, so anything that's on the table with chametz, we noig to do hagala. So therefore, let's say the becher, the kiddush cup, you have a nice silver kiddush cup that you want to use on Pesach, or you have a wine decanter a metal wine decanter throughout the year that now you want to use on Pesach, or. So then that the meaning is to kashu and hagola. Like I said, these are simple things that you can do at home. You don't need to bring it to the guy outside to do, following the steps that we mentioned earlier. Candlesticks or the candlestick tray or vases that are on the table when you're eating chametz. So also the meaning is not to put it on the table on Pesach unless you taka washed it and cleaned it very well and you feel comfortable. So then you could put it on, and you could then you could use it. But when it comes to medicines, so any medicines in the form of pills or capsules, so you don't have to worry about. So therefore, all those lists and books, you don't have to make yourself crazy with it. That you don't have to worry about that. There's no issue of chametz. Syrups, especially those for children with a sweet taste, should have a hechsher for Pesach. But you should check into if there's specific medicine that you need for Pesach. Many times it's not an issue of chametz; it's an issue of kidneys. And if it's an issue of kidneys, we make up by a chol sheva sakana. So you have to speak to a Rav to find out if this is considered Chol Shem HaSakana for us to be Mekel or not. But ointments and creams, if you ever tasted it, they're bitter tasting, so therefore there's not an issue. Body soaps and shampoos do not require special Hechsher for Pesach. But those things that go in the mouth, like toothpaste and mouthwash, and other such items that go into the mouth, they should have a Hechsher for Pesach. Makeup, perfume, do not need a hechsher for Pesach, but lipstick should be used. You should have either a new lipstick for Pesach, or at least the edge of it. And if you could get a kashel Pesach one, it's also better, because sometimes when you're eating, it goes into the mouth.
Body spray, deodorants, roll-on.
All that is not a problem. Okay, now I.
Lipstick, you do have to make sure that it's no flour inside,
right? You should. It's better too, because sometimes when you eat, it takes off some and goes into the mouth.
That's why.
Toothpaste in the mouth, which mom goes in the mouth. Over here, it stays on your lip. I'm just saying, sometimes it does, so therefore, again, you have to know yourself. Or know what type of lipstick you use, I guess. I don't know, I can't answer that. Okay.
Moisturizing lotion, all those things are not a problem. Let's say they have oatmeal in them and all those things.
A hot water urn. So if you know that you never used it to warm up your challah or chametz on top of it, then theoretically, again, it may not even need hagala. But for sure, you could just boil up water in it. But if chametz spritzed at it from the outside, so then you're gonna have a difficulty doing hagola on it, because you would have to be magal from the outside, and you can't do that. Mm-hmm. So it was definitely suggested to get a kumkum for Pesach. But again, if someone can't afford it, there's ways to deal with it. A dishwasher also may not be simple to kasher for Pesach. Those racks that are used to dry the dishes on, that just wash down, it's fine as long as you wash it. Because anyways, you put on a clean dishes, so there shouldn't be any problem. If there's any specific questions about different items, so then ask. And fine. So we covered the different kashering and different cleaning around the house. Tomorrow we'll try to spend one day on different dinim of making matzah. The next set of simanim is on a matzah. What? That's your job tonight. Every Pesach. I didn't realize it's so late. I'm sorry. And then we'll go into the halachas of the Seder. Okay? That is a shem. Have a wonderful day. Yeah, this is yours. I have a check. Someone gave
down in the show
once, you got a
Leah. Has someone come?
Yeah.
Not just someone come. Not sure someone's been in my house or not yet. First find out.
Is this where we're going to stop the recorder? Stop. I'm not sure.